Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseline underneath, bank shot. No, Ewing slams in the photo. And the Knicks go up by one with 26 seconds remaining.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The buzzer sounds, and the New York Knickerbockers are going back to the NBA Finals.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
They say it's 50.
Hey, Paul, you know you're my favorite white boy, right?
Had to say it. You know, it's just too easy. Keith McPherson on The Fan. A five-hour KM to AM. 1 hour in. 4 hours to go. Enjoy your Friday night. Drive safely out there. Or kick back, relax at home, and just have the radio on in the back. Do what you got to do. Clean. Have a drink. Watch the Rangers. Watch the Devils, and call me up so we can talk sports. Whatever you guys want to talk about in the sports world. This is New York City. We have every sports fan of every team and player and every thought and every take. And I think now is a good time to try and reset the table here. Obviously, it's championship weekend, and I put my picks out there, but I didn't actually put my picks out there with the spread and the over-under. I'll wait till later in the show, but now I just really want to see this Andy Reid Bowl. It's hard for me to actually think that a competitor like Patrick Mahomes, who I do believe is the best quarterback in the NFL, Burrow is a close second, maybe not even second, but it's hard for me to believe that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Spagnuolo and Travis Kelce and, you know, Chris Jones and all these guys that are in the NFL that have played in Super Bowls, that have won a ton of games, that were the number one seed. It's hard for me to believe that these guys are going to be okay losing on their home field and losing to this team four times in a row after all of the disrespect that we've seen this past week. You know, it's interesting where we are, right? These NFL players are in their 20-somethings, and they grew up in this culture of trolling, of roasting, of, you know, the internet, which is not real. You know, where you can say and do anything on the internet without getting punched in your face. Well, now you got to step in the ring. And there's going to be some blows thrown. And you got to go to Burrowhead, which is Arrowhead. And those fans are going to be even more fired up. And like I even alluded to, that city is going to be conspiring against you. Good luck at the hotel. Good luck at, you know, good luck at wherever you are. When you land, when you get on the bus, you're going to have a whole city looking at you with these eyes like they want to literally kill you. Because you poked the bear. You more than poked the bear. You crossed the line. You disrespected Kansas City, their quarterback, their team, their franchise, all of that. And you could have just kept your mouth shut. We've seen this in sports so much. We've seen this in sports, right? They talk about bulletin board material. This is beyond bulletin board material. So I just think the Chiefs are going to play like their life depends on it. And they're at home. And I understand Joe Cool, Joe Bird, Joe Scheisty, Joe Thurow. Joe Burrow is the real deal. But he's down two offensive linemen. They were able to survive last week against the Bills, but the Bills were already suspect. We knew that. We knew the Bills were suspect when Skylar Thompson and the Dolphins were actually having a game in Buffalo. And I know we wanted to believe in the DeMar Hamlin story. We wanted to believe that that was going to give them some juice. And it was theatrical seeing the snow falling in Buffalo. You wanted to believe that that gave them some type of home field advantage. It didn't. So they were able to narrowly escape a defeat from a backup quarterback in their own division. The Ravens were this close to that score swinging, right? The Ravens were, you know, if the Ravens run the ball with J.K. Dobbins instead of going over the top with their backup quarterback, that score swings, and we're in a different game there. So they get through that game against a division rival. They get through the Buffalo game, and Buffalo has historically collapsed. This is a Kansas City team that has been to five AFC championships, right? They're ready to roll. And I think Patrick Mahomes on one leg is going to do what he has to do to beat this team. So I'm rolling with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl. And I'm no Eagles fan, but I think the Eagles at home, you know, this whole playoffs is pretty much gone chalk. Right, so the one seeds meeting in the Super Bowl makes sense to me. The Eagles are stacked at every position, and they didn't show you everything last week. They ran the ball a ton, and they ran the ball at will. But they were playing against a New York Giants team that honestly didn't belong there. A team that overachieved. A team that nobody had penciled in to the divisional round, let alone the wild card round. So that's why I said earlier, like, the Eagles, you know, they got to kick up their feet a little bit. They're not really banged up from that first round battle against the Giants. They're ready to go. And I know the Niners are a juggernaut as well. Like, when I look at the Niners, like, Fred Warner is one of the best players in football, probably the best linebacker in football. George Kittle, him and Kelce are the two best tight ends. Deebo Samuel, he can do whatever he wants, running the ball, catching the ball, you know, breaking runs, taking it to the house. But it's going to come down to quarterback play, and Brock Purdy has had the luxury of, you know, playing at home, playing in the comfort of his own stadium in front of his own fans. And last week we saw the Cowboys get to him a little bit, make him look like a rookie a little bit, like that one play where he almost didn't throw it out of bounds in time. It's like, what are you doing, son? You know, Micah Parsons trying to get in there on him. I think that the Eagles will get home. I think that Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat and Devontae Graham and Fletcher Cox, or Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, like, they have a defensive stack. Their DBs, it's not going to be so easy, right? You saw Dak throwing interceptions. It's not going to be so easy to get the ball to Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. I don't know who their other receivers are. Ray-Ray McCloud, Juwan Jennings, they rarely get the ball. They're going to target Kittle, and I think it's Kittle's game to take over. And maybe he can, but when you look at the Eagles secondary with James Bradbury and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and, of course, Darius Slay, like, these are locked-down guys with experience. And it's not going to be so easy to find receivers when you've got a defensive line breathing down your throat, running you down. And Purdy's been pretty elusive. We'll see how elusive he is when he's running for his life this weekend. But it's going to be harder to find open receivers when they're blanketed and you're facing a rush like that. So, for what my money's worth, it's the Andy Reid Bowl, and that was written in the stars a long time ago. Eagles versus Chiefs, Andy Reid versus his former team, and no one wants to see the Eagles win another Super Bowl. I thought that would never happen. No one wants to see their fans burn their city down again and pump out their chest. What we would love is to see the Eagles lose the Super Bowl so that Philadelphia has to stomach a World Series collapse and a Super Bowl loss. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. 877-337-6, and two more sixes. We've got people on the line. Let's go to Lou in Astoria right now. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
I'm good in here watching the Rangers. They were just, somebody was just throwing hands, duking it out.
Jesus, God. You don't think the Devils are going to do it this year?
Yeah,
the
Devils come on in like 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, listen to me. Who you got for the Super Bowl? Before I go to Cecil Fielder and Roger.
Me?
Who is your Make it I got to the Chiefs. Super Bowl and winning.
I got the Chiefs winning it. I don't know. You might not have been listening while you're on hold. I got the Chiefs beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Well, I happen to take the Eagles. But anyway, listen, Cecil Fielder, that was great. Listen, the one thing you cannot take away, him and his son are the only two players in baseball history to hit over 50 homers. Remind him when you go and you see him tomorrow. I mean, what is it, Saturday or Sunday?
Next Saturday, yeah, and Sunday I think he'll be there. So, yep.
Anyway, as far as Rodgers is concerned, I'm really concerned about bringing him to here, especially with the media. And he's like a crybaby. You know, he cannot get away with what he did in Green Bay and here with New York. It's not going to be easy. But I do, the only thing I like, if you can teach Zach Wilson the fundamental developing into a good quarterback, I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, like I said, all he can do is make the playoffs. He's not going to go anywhere. As you know, I remember when he played the Giants in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think it was the Super Bowl or in the playoffs. And he was missing when it comes to playoffs, he wasn't really that great. He was missing his receiver by 10 yards. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
it was very cold.
He has folded. He hasn't won a Super Bowl since, what was that, 2010, 2008? He's come up short.
It's been such a long time. And let me tell you something. Like I said, I'm a Jets fan. I mean, I'd rather have it, even though he's another headache, but I think he's in his last hurrah. Baker Mayfield, at least for a couple of years, and I don't even have to give the world for him because he's a free agent. But listen, I agree with you. I think that the Chiefs are going to be tough, but I hate the Eagles, and I can't stand those people. But I tell you what, I won't put the house on them, but I think they're going to win it. You take care, and listen, you're doing a great job. Take care.
Thank you, Lou. A few things. Unfortunately, again, I chose the Dallas Cowboys. I know you've heard me say it 1,000 times, but I've watched them closer than any other NFL team. And I hate the Packers. Let's go back to 2014. Dez caught it, but he didn't. Aaron Rodgers knocks off Tony Romo. Let's go back to 2016. Jared Cook. Aaron Rodgers finds Jared Cook for them to knock off the one-seed Cowboys in Jerry World. Like, Aaron Rodgers has come up short, and he has failed in the playoffs, but he has succeeded. And he does have a Super Bowl ring. And maybe it's time. Maybe it has run its course in Green Bay, right? You could sense some frustration with him. Just little things this season, right? He's throwing a pass to a wide-open Christian Watson in the beginning of the season. Kid drops it. Would have been a long touchdown, like a 60, 70-yard touchdown. Drops it. Later in the season, he's quoted as saying, hey, you want to catch touchdowns? Run the right routes. Man, pair him up with a Garrett Wilson. Please, I want to see it. I live 20 minutes from the stadium. I want to see Garrett Wilson just running little slant routes and Aaron Rodgers throwing dots right at his face, this kid catching it and making a corner, a safety fall, and then him running down the sideline to score touchdowns. Like, that's what you got to do. The Jets know what to do. And the first step in doing that was Nathaniel Hackett, right? If this is a, you know, four-step, five-step parlay, the first leg of the parlay is complete. It's green. There's a green check mark. For gangrene, Nathaniel Hackett, you got a veteran OC, right? You tried it with LaFleur and Zach Wilson, two rookies that made no sense. And speaking of two rookies, right, it made no sense to have a rookie OC and a rookie quarterback with no veteran in that quarterback room. If you put Aaron Rodgers in that quarterback room, he's going to, even if he doesn't necessarily want to mentor Zach Wilson, which I think he does because he wouldn't be texting Zach Wilson from Wisconsin on a Friday night at 6 p.m. to tell him, hey, get out of the facility. Go be a kid. Go have dinner. Go enjoy your life. I know you want to get better, but like, how much can you do right now? Go take a break. So I think he does want to mentor this kid. I think he likes the fact that like, he's been in the league long enough where these kids are getting drafted and coming in the league, and their favorite quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. Not Tom Brady, not Peyton Manning. Their favorite quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. I think he likes that, and he's still playing. And just watching Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson will learn. He doesn't have to literally hold his hand and bring him along, but like the first thing I thought about Zach Wilson is he has no one there to show him how to be a pro, how to be a professional. We're doing all this talk about Patrick Mahomes. What happened with Patrick Mahomes in year one? He sat behind Alex Smith. Alex Smith isn't the greatest quarterback. He's no Aaron Rodgers. He was drafted before Aaron Rodgers. But Patrick Mahomes got to watch an NFL quarterback go about his day-to-day business, and he learned how to be a pro. So Zach Wilson needs to see one of the greatest of all time go about his business day-to-day and then follow that man's lead. The Jets have to get it done at this point. We've talked about it now for 2 weeks. If it doesn't get done, I don't know what exactly they're doing. 877-337-6666. Coming up at 8:30 is Frank Isola. Let's go to my guy Hayden in Dix Hills. Let's go.
What's up, dude? Just a question I have for you. Now that Scott Rowland got in the Hall of Fame, how does that compare to the chances for guys like legend in New York, like Keith Hernandez, Don Mattingly, and David Wright? I feel like all those guys had higher peaks than Scott Rowland. I just think that's something to consider. Will that maybe let other guys who are overlooked get in the Hall of Fame now? Because so I feel like Scott Rowland was never an elite player.
Can I slow you down? Let's go back. So you first mentioned Keith Hernandez, right?
Yep.
Well, Fred McGriff is in this year, and he got elected to the Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Era Committee, like his peers. Like, they had to vote him in, right? Yep. His time passed. Like, that's got to happen, in my opinion, for a Keith Hernandez or a Don Mattingly. Like, these guys are guys that when they were playing, they were the best at their position. And I didn't get to see them play, but every time I hear people talk about them, I wish I got to see them play. Like, they were that good. And for them to be left out of the Hall of Fame, but like a Scott Rowland, who I faintly remember seeing Scott Rowland at the end of his career, and he wasn't a guy that I looked at as like,
never like a deep player.
Surefire Hall of Famer, Scott Rowland, that guy. When you tell the story of Major League Baseball, can't leave him out. I don't know.
What do you think about David Wright, too? You think David Wright now has a better shot? Because I feel like he had a higher peak than Scott Rowland did at one point. Like, I never would have thought David Wright is a Hall of Famer, but his peak was pretty good.
You know, similar to, like, Don Mattingly, injuries back and, like, you know, didn't really get to play out the career long enough. And I think, obviously, here in New York, we're biased because, you know, we're watching these guys play 81 times a season, and there are guys. I think David Wright, who was, you know, the captain, Mr. Met in Queens, like, I think he's got a case. I really want to see, you know, when he's on the ballot next year for the first time, you know, how many percentage, like, what's the percentage of the first vote he gets? Like, I don't know if he's going to be a first ballot guy, but I'm very interested to see, is he over 50%? Who else did you mention?
I feel like he's going to be a guy that's going to take multiple ballots if he gets in, but...
Right, that's what I'm saying. If his first ballot, he's over 50%, you got to get to 75%. Like, is it going to take him 5 years? Is it going to take him 8 years? Like, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I just think this whole thing is messed up, and we talked about it, I think, my show Monday night or maybe Tuesday night. This has just become these baseball nerds that are in the Baseball Writers of America Association that push pens. It's been their ego time, right? It's been them, you know, flexing their power. And them saying, nope, we are the gatekeepers. We have to do right by the history of the Hall and Major League Baseball. No steroid users. And now we have advanced metrics that we didn't once have. Let's go to Baseball Reference and crunch the numbers and figure out guys to put in, because we're not going to put in any steroid users. And you can't have classes coming up. You can't have years coming up where there's no one in, right? You can't have years coming up where there's no ceremony. So they got to figure it out, and they got to change things a little bit.
You're going to let in, like, Carlos Beltran for the sign stealing scandal eventually if he gets in. Like, you have to then almost essentially let in the steroids.
It all stops with David Ortiz being a first ballot Hall of Famer for me. David Ortiz being a first ballot Hall of Famer, what's going on? Like, if this guy was linked to PEDs even a little bit, like, there was a survey or whatever. I don't know exactly when he was linked to PEDs, but how do you put him on the first ballot? How is he a first ballot Hall of Famer right away? He doesn't have to wait a year, a couple years. Some of these guys have had to wait years, and it's like, I don't know, it's crooked.
It's all subjective. It's a bunch of nonsense. They don't have any, like, objectiveness in it at all. It's all about who's nice to the press. Like, Jeff Kent has, like, 400-something home runs for a second baseman. He's not going to get in because he pissed off the press.
Right.
So ridiculous.
It's about personality. You know, Big Poppy was a fun-loving guy who gave us quotes. And, like, come on with this. Like, this guy clearly was on roids at some point. And, you know, he was too close to Manny Ramirez not to be. But Manny's never sniffing the Hall of Fame. But this guy's first ballot, make it make sense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just wanted your thoughts on that because I think it's a bunch of crap.
It is. And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? Because I'm 34. I'm a millennial. So I think like our age and younger.
I'm 25 years old. So.
Yeah. My age and younger, like people in their 30s, 20s, like we look at this and like in a couple years, we're not even going to care. Like once CeCe gets in, I don't know. Like, am I going to care when potentially like Aaron Judge goes in however many years? I don't know. Thanks for the call, Hayden. All right, let's see here. Should I take another call or break here? I'll take another call because we're getting Frank at 8:30. We'll have enough time to take a call and a break. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Aaron Rodgers. All right. Jarvis is in Harlem. What's up, man? You're back on the Fan.
How you listen?
I heard someone in the background like, yo, you on the phone? Yeah, I'm on the radio on the phone. Luckily, everybody else wants to talk about the same thing. Mark in Yonkers, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, you got it.
Hey, Keith, man, it's good to see you still doing your thing. I talked to you your very first night on the radio.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. It was a nervous night. I was certainly scared. I faked it until I could make it.
I remember. Now, just let me make – I want to make 2 points real quick before you go to break. Aaron Rodgers, as people know, hates to be compared to Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Hates it.
So he should one-up him.
That's why I think he won't come here.
Yeah, because it just lines him up with Favre again, and he's probably not trying to be compared to Brett Favre, especially with the whole welfare money-stealing scandal down there in Mississippi.
Right. And Salah, I'm sorry, Keith, but Salah, I am so surprised that he is not fired, and let me explain. You have a number two quarterback you picked for a reason. You benched a kid when he's 5-2. I don't want to hear some of those wins were lucky. There's not a lucky win column. It's wins and losses. The kid was 5-2. You allowed that locker room to tell you who they want to play quarterback, running around with T-shirts. I mean, what is this, high school? I mean, he has clearly lost the locker room.
He may never
they abandoned
it.
That. You got to develop him like we developed Jones.
It was a
like
mess.
They just totally – I'm sorry, Keith. They just totally abandoned this kid. It was a total debacle. And if you can't see that Salah lost that locker room, I mean, come on. They let him – they told him who to pick at quarterback. I mean, really? You have an obligation to play for whoever's in there, to the fans. And if you don't want to, there's plenty of people that will take your place. I mean, I just think that whole situation was a disaster.
It was. Thanks for the call, Mark. I'll say this about Salah, and it's the same thing you've heard me say all season, right? Like, from the jump, they were in trouble. Preseason, when Zach Wilson went down, wait, go back. Why is your number two overall pick that you need to be the man starting the first preseason game? Because clearly, he didn't do enough in the offseason to take a step forward. Because clearly, you need to find out if he's the guy. You put him in harm's way, he got hurt. And then you got to go to Joe Flacco week one. And he was a statue. He's cooked. He's old. He's way past his time in his prime, whatever. He was able to still win. But when Zach comes back, he does win some games. But why did he win those games? And I know Mark mentioned that he was 5-2. Breece Hall, Breece Lightning, Breece Hall, like that kid, I wish he never got hurt. And I hope he comes back healthy. And he's young, and I think he's going to heal up and not be too affected. But, like, that kid was breaking the game open. He was breaking runs. And when you break runs like that, you're a threat. Where the defense is more worried about you than anything else, it's easy to complete passes when you can play action. It's easy to complete passes when the whole defense isn't worried about you hurting them and they're keying on the running back. But, yeah, Rob Saleh from the jump with the Mike White shirts and then – the costumes on that Thursday night game, that ended up being the Jets' funeral. They threw Zach Wilson jerseys on the field. It was right before Christmas. Ruined Christmas. And they had players dressed up as the Grinch warming up on the field. Quinton Williams' brother, Quincy Williams. And then Uzama pulls up in the rabbit, the pink rabbit costume from A Christmas Story. Like, they're not serious. They're being so unserious. A head coach has to stop all of that. A head coach has to say, hey, fellas, like, we're literally playing for our season against the Jaguars, who went on and won a playoff game. We're literally playing to get in the playoffs. What are you doing? Where's your head at? But I don't know where his head was at, and I don't know if he ever had the locker room. Those guys were liking tweets disparaging Zach Wilson. Those guys were throwing fits. Like, you have a rookie receiver like Garrett Wilson, who is all-world, very talented, but you have to be a coach and tell that rookie, hey, don't show up your quarterback. He's going to learn. This is probably his last year. Playoffs or you're out of here. Keep McPherson on the Fan. We're going to go get Frank Isola. Frankie Ice is going to talk hoops with us. Knicks fans, Nets fans, don't go anywhere. You're listening.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
To the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit after 8:30 on The Fan Friday night, Keith McPherson checking right back in and joining me, Frank Isola, Frankie Ice. You guys know who he is, obviously, right? If you watch basketball and you're in New York City, I feel like there's no way you can't know this guy. What's up, Frank?
Keith, what's up? Is James Dolan still sitting next to you? Is he still in the studio
hey,
right now?
You should
ask him some neck questions.
First off, I was roasting him last night at like 1, 2 in the morning when I was on. Did not know that he was going to physically be in here today with Carton and Roberts. I listened to that, and I feel like he redeemed himself some because the Fox 5 videos online were not very becoming. They were actually very cringy, and he came off differently on the radio. What did you think? I'm assuming you heard the interview.
I said I heard some of it. I mean, I first did an interview with him. My Lord. It might be all the way back in, I think, the summer of 2000 on a golf course in Louisville, Kentucky. Alan Houston had a charity golf event, and it was the summer where Alan Houston was going to sign a huge contract. So I went down there. I spent some time with Jim Dolan. So I had been around him for a long time before everything really blew up. It's 2000. They made the Eastern Conference Finals. It was only like a couple of months after that. They've only won one playoff series since then. So it's been a while. It's funny. The only thing I would say about the facial recognition, it kind of made it seem like he wants it because he doesn't want fans coming up to him and yelling at him, which is fine. But I don't know. Like, there was that ugly scene of the Ranger fan knocking out the fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. I mean, is that guy banned? I mean,
that guy definitely should be banned. Well. You know, it comes off super insecure to have the owner talking about, like, himself and using that technology. You just mentioned exactly what it should be used for. Like, if you come in this building and you don't know how to act, you're never allowed in again. And you're not
everybody. Yeah, so if you're sitting in the upper deck and some guy for no reason punch you in the back of the head a couple of times, I would hope the next time he said
WFAN, if you're all the way up in the top, whatever. Like, we're not going to hear you. We're not going to see you. That's
exactly what I took from it. It's really just about protecting him, which, again, he's allowed to do that. But he basically told any other fan, if you're getting assaulted, well, it's kind of game on for you. You have to defend yourself. I have nothing to do with that. The facial technology is basically to protect him. And, again, he owns a building. He could do whatever he wants. But to try to spin it as anything other than that, it was a little silly.
Yeah, I mean, I took the explanation. It sounded a little better on radio than it came off on TV, but whatever.
Well, Keith, he also had practice because, I mean, they obviously go over this stuff, and then the trial run was on with Rosanna Scotto on Channel 5, and then obviously they probably felt like they wanted to clean stuff up. But he's not going on, nothing against Craig Carton and Evan Roberts, he's not going on with them because he thinks they're terrific guys. He's going on there because they probably think, it didn't come across as well as we wanted it to. And what happens too with Jim Dolan, when you spend time around him, like in a casual setting, he's fine. He could be pretty funny. And in those kind of settings where it's hard to really defend what he's doing, so really it's not going to come across well anyway. But I think he wanted to give himself a second chance to kind of explain what's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. The guy just seems like he does a lot of thinking about things and trying to
really. You know what they should think about? Here's what I would think about if you really cared about the fans. Think about like winning a little bit more. That's the thing. Maybe think about having stability in the organization, because here's the deal: everything that's gone on, it's not the fans who might be screaming sell the team. Or it's not the media that might write really mean things. It's been, since 2000, only one playoff series victory. That's not on the fans. That's not on the media. I always think, too, it's funny. There's a bunch of American owners that own teams in the Premier League. Stan Kroenke owns the Nuggets and the Avalanche and the Rams. He owns Arsenal. And then you have the guys, the Glazers. They own Manchester United. And whenever those teams do poorly, the fans go crazy. They hold protests outside the stadium. They'll get somebody in a plane. They'll fly over and tell them to sell the team. But I keep thinking, can you imagine, if Jim Dolan gets mad at one fan holding up a sign saying sell the team, can you imagine if he owned one of these Premier League teams in England where, like, the fans organize protests and they get, like, 20,000 people to show up? It would be facial recognition technology would be working overboard, or overtime, I should say, at games if he owned a team over there.
Yeah, he's king of his castle in the middle of Manhattan, and he's ruling over that place however he wants. And what I thought was that, him being with Craig and Evan, they made him more, like, human, more personable. When you saw him on TV, it's like, this guy is a billionaire, and he's coming off very insecure. And, like, he had a printout of, this attorney or the guy that's from the SLA. He had his number and his email and his picture printed out. Like, come on, bro. Like, who's doing that if you're a billionaire? Like, you're stooping to that level. But whatever. It is what
it is.
Well,
he likes to fight. That's always been his thing. When you have the money and you have the attorneys, you could do something like that. For him to go and conduct interviews, because he doesn't normally do it, he doesn't like doing it, tells you that he's going to fight this thing. So, you know, you have politicians coming after him now. So he's going to show you that he's going to fight back. Remember, you know, I looked up, it was 15 years ago when Anuka Brown-Saunders had the sexual harassment lawsuit against the Garden, and they could have settled out of court, and really it would have kind of gone away pretty quietly, and that's what he was being advised to do, even by attorneys and people close to him, and he wanted to take it to trial. And then, you know, his deposition was played, and it wasn't a flattering image of him. You know, Isaiah Thomas was the last thing that Isaiah Thomas wanted to do was get on a witness stand. He had to do that. Stephon Marbury had to do that. It just was it really put a dark cloud over the Garden. And when all of a sudden was done, they ended up paying out close to $12 million. I think that was the jury ruled in favor of the plaintiff. And then there was a out-of-court settlement, but the out-of-court settlement was reports are close to $12 million.
Yeah, and like now that you're saying that, I remember that, and I don't even want to go through some of the other sketchy things that this guy has on his resume, being the owner of the Knicks and the Rangers. I'm watching the Rangers right now. There's people in there drinking beers. I don't think he's ever really going to do the thing he said about having a night where they're not selling liquor in the place. But let's talk about the Knicks now, right? The Knicks are coming off their biggest win of the year, in my opinion, knocking off the Celtics in the TD Garden. And Julius Randle seems like it's automatic for him to drop 30. Jalen Brunson, these guys have played enough games where they're in a little bit of a flow now. They're relatively healthy. Obviously, Mitchell Robinson is out, but you know they have R.J. Barrett back. And then you're getting guys like Jericho Sims and Quentin Grimes. Like, you're getting contributions from IQ and other guys. Like, their squad is kind of coming together right now, but they've obviously had some letdowns in the fourth quarter, lost multiple games in a row. And they're leading, you know, into this, or they're going into this Nets matchup rivalry week. And I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Let's talk about the Knicks and, like, what you're seeing. Who's standing out to you? And, what are you thinking about this team now? You know, even Jim Dolan, he gave credit to Leon Rose. They asked him about not getting Donovan Mitchell. And he said himself he expects them to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, well, number one, I feel good if I were the Knicks, because I'm going into tomorrow's game against the Nets knowing I don't have to face Kevin Durant. Yep. So that's going to make things a lot easier for the coaching staff and the players. I always thought that Tom Thibodeau would do a good job there. You know, his attention to detail is what it is. I mean, if you look at Tom's career, you know, when he was in Chicago, Derrick Rose, the youngest MVP in league history. Joe Kim Noah became an all-star for the first time there. I believe the same with Jimmy Butler. When he was in Minnesota, Karl-Anthony Towns became an all-star for the first time. Julius Randle did in New York, a very good chance that Jalen Brunson could make it as well. I think early on, you know, their talent isn't great. And, you know, you do have guys on the team like Derrick Rose and Evan Fournier, guys that have accomplished a lot in the league, especially in the case of Derrick Rose, where it's a tough decision a lot of times for the coach to make that call to say, you know what, you guys aren't going to be part of the rotation, but that's why the coach gets paid the big bucks. So I think it took him some time to sort out the rotation. You do have, you know, you're bringing in a brand new point guard. I'm somewhat biased because I know him and I like him, Jalen Brunson. So I thought he was going to be good. I think for a lot of people, he's probably exceeded expectations. He brings, you know, it's like having an adult like running your team. He's very smart. He's all about winning. He's about, you know, trying to make the players around him better. He'll be a coach. I mean, maybe he'll make so much money that he won't need it, but he loves basketball so much, I could see him being a coach one day. And I think just having him there and knowing that Tom has known Jalen since he was a kid, because Tom has a very close relationship with Rick Brunson, you know, dating back years. You know, so they're really in line. And you know this, it's kind of like football. When the head coach and the quarterback are on the same page and are really connected, it trickles down to a lot of players. But I got to give Julius Randle a lot of credit. He didn't play well last year. A lot of people are thinking, man, they got to get rid of this guy. But Julius Randle, you know, he makes quicker decisions with the ball. I know sometimes he gets a little dribble happy, but you know, he's really played well this year. And the Knicks are good. I mean, you tell me. You look at the Eastern Conference. If everyone's healthy, you know, the Bucks have better talent. The Boston Celtics have better talent. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers have better talent. I would say the Miami Heat have better talent. The Brooklyn Nets do. But there's a lot of really good teams in the Eastern Conference, and I think they've done a really good, more than a good job keeping their head above water.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, I'm watching the Knicks, and what I've been saying about them all year is, like, they build up some goodwill, and then they erase it, right? They do something good, and then they lose a couple games. Or you think that they're, you know, onto something, and then, like, the Luka game happens, and it's like, oh, same old Knicks. But, yeah. You know, old habits are hard to break, and the same old Knicks curse is hard to shake. Like, they're trying to be a good team. They're trying to become a competitive team. And like you said, in the East, right now they're seventh. Yeah. I think they're going to remain around like 6, 7, 8. And if they don't make the playoffs, I still expect them to be in the play-in.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be able to do that. You know, assuming everyone stays healthy. And you know how it works. I mean, I think the two teams that you look at in both conferences that have kind of that have been a disappointment in terms of the record early on are both Golden State and Miami. So, you know, Miami just, you know, that's a well-coached team. They have good players. You know, I always expected them to turn around. We'll see what happens with the Warriors. But for the most part, you know, you look around the league, except for Boston and except for, you know, Denver and I guess Memphis as well, you know, all these teams are kind of in the same boat, and it's weird because I think, you know, load management has a lot to do with it. I mean, look at the Clippers. How many games, Paul George, and I'm not saying they haven't had legitimate injuries, same thing with Kawhi Leonard, but, you know, they missed a lot of games. The Clippers were struggling. All of a sudden they get those guys playing, and it's a much different team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think for the New York Knicks, you know, I agree with you. Like, if you're just looking at the Knicks and you're looking at the results, and they're kind of an up-and-down team, but that seems to be just about everybody in the league. Denver's not like that because they probably have a guy who's going to win the MVP again in Nikola Jokic. You know, Milwaukee struggled because Chris Middleton had missed a ton of time at the start, then played 7 games and got hurt again. So every team in the league has issues. So, like, the up-and-down nature of the next season is kind of indicative of how just about every team in the NBA has been.
Yeah, and the trade deadline is coming up, and I know there's been some talk about them trying to move Cam Reddish. Also some talk about them trying to get OG Anunoby. Like, I don't know. I feel like if they make a move here, that could potentially put them more to the top of the East. And when, you know, they're feeling themselves right now after beating the Celtics. And I think Julius Randle said something along the lines of, like, you know, we could lose to anybody, we could beat anybody. But if you get one more guy, you know, maybe that puts them over the top. And I think that would be on, you know, Leon Rose and these guys to wheel and deal and do. And I don't know if they're necessarily going to do that. I still, for the life of me, can't understand what their draft plan was, like what they were going into the NBA draft trying to accomplish.
Yeah. I think they thought they were probably going to get Donovan Mitchell. I don't think that they thought that Cleveland was going to be a real player in that. So that was probably a miscalculation on their part. I also think, you know, the one thing with Cleveland, I do a, you know, the radio show on Sirius in the Morning with Brian Scalabrine. And he obviously knows Danny Ainge very well. And he can, you know, when the trade was made and, you know, people were talking, well, did the Knicks offer this? They offer that. And his big thing always was that Danny Ainge really valued Lauri Markkanen more than he valued R.J. Barrett. And Danny Ainge is a pretty good judge of talent. He doesn't get it right all the time. But, I mean, look at the Celtic team that he put together. He's pretty good. And Markkanen is probably going to be an all-star this year. And, you know, so Danny Ainge was onto something. Lauri Markkanen is really coming into his own. So maybe it did come down to that. Maybe it just came down to something as simple as Danny Ainge felt that Markkanen was a better asset than R.J. Barrett. Maybe the Knicks weren't going to give up all the first-round picks that they had. But I think the combination of that, because of Mitchell Robinson, and I was wrong about this at the start, it would be a small backcourt. But I think Mitchell Robinson would have helped a lot, much like Jared Allen helps Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in Cleveland. So I think, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's played so well. Now you think about it, can you imagine Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson again? Man, that would be lights out.
Yeah, now I'm only going to keep you for a couple more minutes. We got to talk Nets. I know we're the B team, but I'm a Nets fan. I'm from New Jersey. I rep Brooklyn. I do the Talking Nets podcast, and I've talked plenty of Nets on The Fan. Honestly, I think this is the Brooklyn Nets time where they actually lose. Like, the winning streak is up to 8, and that's a long streak to have in a rivalry. That's dominance. That's 3 years. But without KD, and obviously what we saw of the Nets last night, I was disgusted. I mean, it's the Pistons. But it's the second half of a back-to-back, and I cracked up watching you on Yes at the halftime talking about, like, Ben Simmons right away. Like, that hook shot that he attempted in the paint, and it came up, like, 2 feet short.
Yeah.
He's the most frustrating guy to watch ever. I didn't want the Nets to default into trading for him and taking on this headache. But here he is, and he goes out of that game last night. He gets, like, his eye grazed. Like, I think everybody that has played basketball has been poked in the eye before. He walks off, and I just had a feeling he's not going to return.
Yep.
And then they say it's left knee soreness, and I don't expect him to play tomorrow because he's ducking smoke. He does not want to be on that floor with the Knicks and the Nets, Battle of the Boroughs, all of New York watching. And I just don't see how the Nets win. Now, obviously, Nick Claxton has emerged. He's playing great. He's getting his respect, and he's looking like the Nets have wanted him to look. Kyrie Irving goes from dropping 30 to 40. He'll have to drop 50 to probably beat the Knicks. But in this matchup coming up, you know, what are you expecting to see? I just think the Knicks are coming off a Celtics win, and you know, now Jalen Brunson steps into this rivalry, and they come to Brooklyn, and their fans are going to be fired up to come into Barclays Center, and I'm not feeling too confident about the game. The Nets will probably find a way to win. That's how it'll go, right?
Well, I mean, you know, a couple of things. First of all, where in New Jersey are you from?
I'm from Monmouth County. Yeah, of course. I'm from the Shore.
Look at you. I'm living a life. I mean, you know this from watching the Nets and paying close attention to it. You look at the way Ben Simmons was playing when Kevin Durant was out there. He wants to be a role player, and I think he could kind of be a role player in the vein of Draymond Green, where he's not, you know, where he should be hovering around, even though he should be scoring more than this, but let's just say 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. And he was kind of doing that when Kevin Durant played. I think the problem with Ben Simmons, once that kind of security blanket of Kevin Durant left, it's not in his head like, I got to do more offensively. Now, he did in the third quarter against Philadelphia, which led me to believe that something must have happened at halftime of that game. I don't even think he took a shot in the first half against Philadelphia, and all of a sudden in the third quarter, he had 10
points.
They
laid into him. They told him, they said, Ben, we're on your floor. This is Philadelphia. They're all looking at you. Do something, bro.
Yeah, and you could hear it kind of in Jock Vaughn's voice after the game against Philly, after the game last night that they lost to Detroit. So it's disappointing. If he's healthy enough, I hope he's out there playing. But when he did walk off the court, I turned to Chris Sheeran, who's the host of the pre- and post-game show
Chris.
On Yes last
Tell
night.
Chris, I
and
said, what's
said,
up?
I got a funny feeling that's going to be sore. Left knee soreness and not going to return. Sure enough, that's what it was. But the one thing about the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, you know, who's playing for a contract, has been off the charts good. And come on, Keith, last night he rested 41 seconds in the second half. He played the entire second half. And it's not just offense, because we all know that Kyrie Irving is a brilliant offensive player. He's getting after it defensively, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did a great job, like weak side help on Joel Embiid. So Kyrie's been terrific. And then really the biggest revelation of this Brooklyn season has been the play of Nick Claxton. He's been, on both ends of the court, he's incredibly confident. You know, Joel Embiid and Montrezl Harrell tried to punk him the other night. They tried to talk you-know-what to him, and he just stood there. He didn't get thrown off his game. He didn't
He quietly talked back. He quietly said what he had to say.
But that's exactly. But
great.
Then he also did it in a way where he was productive, which is really the best way to answer you. You know, listen, I could come up with some good one-liners too to come back at you, but I still got to be able to perform.
He had career highs three nights in a row scoring. Like now he's looking like it's easy to score, and it used to be a struggle. And even his free throws are improving. He's finding it.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, the great thing, you know, when Kevin Durant got hurt against Miami and I was doing the game that night, the fact that he stayed in for a couple possessions, mm-hmm. I thought there's no way that this is season ending. And everyone figured it would probably be 2 to 4 weeks. And I think we're coming up on 3 weeks now, but he's going to come back. And, you know, Kevin Durant has played so well this season, regardless of all the nonsense that went on over the summer, which was all created by him. And I give the Nets a lot of credit for the way that they handled it. They just kept quiet. They said, sure, we'll trade you. We'll call Boston up. Boston, give us Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. No. They went around to all the teams, asked for the moon, which they shipped to Kevin Durant. They went back to Kevin Durant. We can't make a trade. Let's see. Let's just play it out. And Kevin Durant, you knew, was going to give you unbelievable effort. I think the guy is an unbelievable leader on the court. He holds guys accountable. He plays defense. He passes out of double teams. He's unselfish. He's been great. So when he does come back, and you got Kyrie, and you got Nick Claxton, and you got Kevin Durant, that's two all-stars and an emerging all-star in Nick Claxton. It's just going to be up to those role players like Seth Curry, who you can rely on, Royce O'Neal, who you can rely on, and they're going to need Ben Simmons. I'd also like to see them add maybe a backup big man. But, Ben Simmons, Keith, I said it when they traded for him. He's never going to play with a better player than Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy this while you can, and go out there, and excel with Kevin Durant. He's the perfect teammate to have. And to be fair, Ben Simmons was really good when Kevin Durant was out there.
Yeah, they need him. They all need him. Yuta Watanabe, T.J. Warren.
That's right.
They all need KD. He makes everybody better. Hey, thanks for joining us. Last thing I wanted to leave you with. I don't know if We've never actually met. I've never, like, shaken your hand.
I thought I met you in a game a couple years ago. Yeah.
It was before I was on the Fan. I was recording, and I was calling you out. I was like, he's a Knicks fan, and it was on video. I don't think I ever posted it, but that was me. same kid. I just was – back then I was vlogging and podcasting, and – you know, I was like, Frank Isola, he's a Knicks fan in here. And you said, like, I'm not a Knicks fan.
I think by definition, you're harassing me the way that Jim Dolan talks about fans harassing him. So
yeah, but there's no face recognition technology in Brooklyn. I can do it all
my house. If you come to my house, I might have my puppy, chew on your leg or something like that.
That's all good. Hey, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, Keith. You going to the game tomorrow night?
No, I don't want to see that one. The Nets might lose to the Knicks, and I don't want to be surrounded by Knicks fans in there and taking an L. I've been to a bunch of wins. I've been to like three or four of the last eight wins.
I think Kyrie and Jalen Brunson, that could be a fun match.
It's going to be a great game.
Getting a day off, Jock Vaughn will give them a day to prepare. I think tomorrow night, and they're rested. Tomorrow night should be a good game.
Looking forward to it, and like I said, tell Chris Sheeran I said what's up. Keep crushing it on Yes and doing your thing, man.
Thanks, Keith. You too. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Frankie Ice, New York Hoops.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.